In this session, we shall examine how we calculate capital gains on the sale of shares. Before we examine the rules for shares, we'll consider why we need special rules in the first place. Consider a taxpayer who has been buying shares in a quoted company called XYZ PLC for a number of years. The share purchases have been as per your screen. The taxpayer currently has 10,000 shares, which have been acquired in four tranches between 1975 and 2005, and the total cost of the taxpayer's shareholding is £38,000. In August 2010, the taxpayer sells 6,000 of the XYZ PLC shares for £36,000. His capital gain will therefore be proceeds of £36,000, less the CGT base cost of the shares being sold. In order to calculate the chargeable gain arising on the sale of these 6,000 shares, we need to identify their base cost. To calculate the base cost, we need to identify which shares the taxpayer has sold. The share matching rules determine the order in which shares are deemed to have been sold. The matching rules we are about to study apply for individuals only. There are slightly different matching rules for disposals of shares by companies. Also, note that the matching rules only apply to shares in the same class in the same company. We should never mix up different types of shares in different companies. Indeed, with shares of different types, there is no need for matching rules because there is not the same difficulty telling them apart. There are three matching rules, and we shall cover them in their order of priority. If an individual disposes of shares, he is first deemed to have sold any shares he acquired on the same day. Next, the shareholder is deemed to have sold any shares he acquired in the following 30 days. This rule was introduced to prevent the common tax planning practice known as bed and breakfasting. Finally, the disposal will be matched with all other share acquisitions which are pooled together and form one asset for CGT purposes. This asset is called the Section 104 pool. Shares acquired before the 31st of March 1982 are deemed to have been acquired on the 31st of March 1982 for their market value at that date. If there are multiple acquisitions in the Section 104 pool, each share in that pool will be treated as having a base cost equal to the average cost of the shares in the pool as at the date of the disposal. By way of illustration, Jeff has shares in XYZ PLC, acquired over a number of years. The share purchases have been as follows. In December 1975, he bought 1,000 shares for £1,000. These shares were worth £2,000 in March 1982. In June 1986, he bought 3,000 shares for £9,000. In September 1990, he bought 2,000 shares for £8,000. Finally, in December 2005, he bought 4,000 shares for £20,000. On the 15th of August 2010, Jeff sold 6,000 shares for £36,000. We need to calculate Jeff's capital gain. To calculate Jeff's capital gain, we first identify which shares Jeff has sold by applying the share matching rules. Jeff sold 6,000 shares on the 15th of August 2010. Our first question is, did Jeff buy any shares on the same day? I.e., did he buy any shares on the 15th of August 2010? If he did, these shares will be sold in priority to any others. The answer to this question is no. We then move to the second matching rule and ask whether Jeff bought any shares in the 30 days following the date of disposal. The 30 days following the disposal runs from the 16th of August 2010 to the 15th of September 2010. The answer to this question is again, no. We now move to the last matching rule. The third match is with any other shares acquired. Jeff has bought several lots of shares. These shares form a pool, and Jeff is treated as selling his shares from the pool on a pro rata basis. The shares bought in 1975 are treated as having been bought on the 31st of March 1982 for their market value on that day. We now put together the Section 104 pool. The shares bought in 1975 are treated as being acquired in March 1982 for their value at that date. This was £2,000. We next bring in the other acquisitions in 1986, 1990 and 2005 at their respective costs. At this point, Jeff has 10,000 shares with a CGT base cost of £39,000. In August 2010, Jeff sold 6,000 shares. At this point, he has 10,000 shares with a total base cost of £39,000. As he is selling 60% of the shares in the pool, we simply take out 60% of the total base cost. The CGT base cost of the 6,000 shares sold is therefore £39,000 times 60%, being £23,400. Jeff is now left with 4,000 shares with a base cost of £15,600. The final step is to calculate the capital gain. Proceeds are £36,000. The CGT base cost of the shares sold is £23,400. This gives Jeff a capital gain of £12,600. Let's run through a second illustration. Glenys has bought shares in ABC PLC as follows. In December 1994, she bought 20,000 shares for £10,000. In June 2001, she bought 40,000 shares for £80,000. Finally, on the 29th of March 2011, she bought 10,000 shares for £40,000. On the 14th of March 2011, Glenys sold 20,000 shares for £75,000. We need to calculate Glenys' capital gain. To calculate Glenys' capital gain, we first identify which shares she has sold. Glenys sold 20,000 shares on the 14th of March 2011. Our first question is, did Glenys buy any shares on the same day? I.e., did she buy any shares on the 14th of March 2011? The answer to this question is no. We then move to the second matching rule and ask whether Glenys bought any shares in the 30 days following the date of disposal. The 30 days following the disposal runs from the 15th of March 2011 to the 14th of April 2011. The answer to this question is yes, as Glenys bought 10,000 shares on the 29th of March 2011. These 10,000 shares are therefore sold first. The capital gain on the sale of these 10,000 shares is as follows. 20,000 shares were sold for £75,000. Therefore, the 10,000 shares bought on the 29th of March 2011 are sold for half of this, being £37,500. The shares cost £40,000. So Glenys made a loss on the sale of these shares of £2,500. The last match is with all other shares acquired, which are in the Section 104 pool. The Section 104 pool is as per your screen. We add together the 20,000 shares bought in December 1994 and the 40,000 shares acquired in June 2001, so Glenys has 60,000 shares costing £90,000. In March 2011, Glenys sold 10,000 shares out of the pool. As she is selling 1/6 of the shares, we deduct 1/6 of the base cost. The CGT base cost of the 10,000 shares sold is therefore £15,000. Glenys is now left with 50,000 shares with a base cost of £75,000. Now we can calculate the capital gain. Proceeds of the sale of the 10,000 pool shares are £37,500. The base cost of the shares sold is £15,000, giving a capital gain of £22,500. Glenys has therefore sold two assets. She has sold 10,000 shares bought on the 29th of March 2011 and 10,000 shares from the Section 104 pool. Her net gain on sale is therefore the gain of £22,500 on the Section 104 pool shares, less the loss of £2,500 on the shares bought on the 29th of March 2011. Glenys' net chargeable gain is therefore £20,000. There are two practice questions to complete this session. Rufus sold 2,000 shares on the 1st of October 2010. He didn't buy any shares on the same day, so this is not a match. Rufus bought some shares on the 1st of December 2010. However, this is more than 30 days after the sale, so again there is no match. The 2,000 shares sold therefore come from the Section 104 pool. The Section 104 pool consists of 1,000 shares bought in December 2005, 1,000 shares bought in December 2006, and 1,000 shares bought in December 2007. The total cost of these 3,000 shares is £15,000. Rufus sold 2,000 shares on the 1st of October 2010. There are 3,000 shares in the pool, so we take two-thirds of the total base cost, being £10,000. Rufus sold the shares for £16,000. His base cost is £10,000, giving him a capital gain of £6,000. Anna sold 8,000 shares on the 21st of March 2011. She had bought 4,000 shares on the same day, so this is a match. The second match is with shares bought on the 28th of March 2011, as this is within the 30 days following the sale. She sold 8,000 shares for £16,000, so 4,000 shares are sold for £8,000. The shares bought on the 21st of March 2011 cost £10,000, so the 4,000 shares are sold at a loss of £2,000. She sold 8,000 shares for £16,000, so 4,000 shares are sold for £8,000. Anna bought 6,000 shares on the 28th of March 2011 at a cost of £18,000. She's selling 4,000 of them, so we take 4/6 of the cost of £18,000, giving £12,000. Anna has therefore made a loss on these shares of £4,000. We add the two losses together to give a total loss on the sale of £6,000. That concludes this introductory lecture on matching rules for shares and securities.